This is Morning Air.
This is about educating a people that for 40 years haven't been given the full truth. It's time now to speak the truth.
When you do things to the best of your ability, keeping Jesus number one and doing everything you possibly can for His glory, that's a winner.
You are called to make the light of Christ shine brightly in the world.
Bringing the light of Christ to start your day.
This is Morning Air with John Morales on Relevant Radio.
It's Monday, May 23rd. Good morning and welcome to another edition of Morning Air. I'm John Morales along with Glenn Leverance. Thanks so much for joining us on this Monday morning to start the new week here on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. Great to be with you this morning. I hope you had a good weekend. Our number, if you want to be part of the program, 888-914-9149. That's 888-914-9149. You can always send us an email, morningair@relevantradio.com. Now, in case you missed the big news on Friday, Archbishop Salvatore Corleone of San Francisco announced that House Speaker Nancy Pelosi will be denied communion in the Archdiocese of San Francisco unless and until she repents of her support for abortion.
She did speak with me over the years a couple of times, but more recently with her advocacy for codifying the Roe decision in federal law. It's becoming more and more extreme and more aggressive. And I've been trying to speak with her about this. I've been debating this within my own conscience for many years, actually. Mm-hmm. So this is not something that's just come up recently. I've been discerning this. I've consulted with people whom I respect for their intelligence, their integrity and their pastoral sensitivity, who would have different sort of perspectives on the situation to get their thinking on it. Done a lot of prayer and fasting. I've been struggling with this for a long time.
And that was Archbishop Corleone speaking on the Gloria Purvis podcast on America Media. We'll be joined live on Morning Air by Archbishop Corleone a little bit later in the show in hour number two at 7:30 Central. I want to bring in our Relevant Radio news anchor, Glenn Leverance. Glenn, this is a big story that a lot of folks are talking about over the weekend. What's your take?
Well, John, a lot of folks have been calling for the speaker to be called out about that for a long time, as a matter of fact. And as her bishop, I suppose that makes it his job to actually do that. In the past, we've had many opportunities to speak with Archbishop Corleone, and he's always been willing to speak his mind and to do it with love, but to do it firmly. And that's, I guess, what he's doing at this occasion.
And the timing of his decision to ban the speaker from Holy Communion is something that some folks question with all the riots that have been going on and all the protests after the leak in the Supreme Court that shows that Roe v. Wade is on the verge of being overturned. So it'll be interesting to get the Archbishop's perspective in his own words when he joins us a little bit later in the show.
Well, and just to have it be clarified for those that are wondering. Again, partaking in communion is a very serious thing. And for someone to be espousing the views of Mrs. Pelosi there, that's not the correct way.
And again, it's something that really is relevant to all of us because we all need to be properly disposed and to be free of mortal sin when we receive a Holy Communion. So it's not just for pro-abortion politicians.
Yes, this needs to be a good reminder for us all, right? That any mortal sin should not be there if we're going up for communion. And again, it's not only things regarding the abortion issue. We shouldn't be having sin on our conscience as we go up, and we shouldn't be celebrating that sin either.
Meanwhile, President Biden made some comments in Tokyo that may have raised some eyebrows.
Well, in addition to Russia attempting to take over Ukraine, many eyes on China as they've threatened to take over Taiwan through the years, but especially in the last couple of years here. And they've been increasing the amount of military drills they've been doing around the island. President Biden on his first Asian trip, including stops in South Korea and Japan and more. And when asked if the U.S. would move militarily against China, His answer seemed to be a little confusing for some. The White House attempted to clarify what he said is that our policy has not changed. We'll continue to support Taiwan, especially should they be attacked by China. But his answer gave the impression that the U.S. was ready to jump in with full military force. And the White House doesn't exactly want to spell that out. We're not bound like we would be in NATO. Again, Ukraine, not part of NATO. So we've been providing all kinds of weapons without providing soldiers and all of that. And it's unclear exactly how we would handle Taiwan, actually, as far as it's publicly announced.
When the leader of the free world speaks, one word can make a difference.
Yeah, and that's the thing. Is it understood by China where we stand? You know, if they think it might be easy to do that, they might move in. If they think we're saber-rattling, they might not take kindly to that and decide to make a move. Been reading a lot, too, through the months, how they've been watching very carefully how things have gone for Russia and Ukraine, which has not been according to Russian plan. So,
and on a positive note, what's the latest with the baby formula shortage?
Well, getting a lot of stuff coming in from Europe, as a matter of fact. 40 tons of baby formula, first shipment arriving in Indiana from Germany yesterday, and one expected in Pennsylvania on Wednesday as well. So there are some steps taken, and that plant should be reopening before too long in Michigan as well to ramp production back up again. It's just amazing that we fell that far short that quickly.
Absolutely. And just to put it in perspective, 40 tons is approximately 500,000 baby bottles. So hopefully a lot of babies are going to be getting fed.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
As always, thanks so much, Glenn.
Hey, sure thing, John.
First things first, we begin every show and every hour in prayer, giving thanks to our Lord for the many blessings through the intercession of the Mother of God, our Blessed Mother Mary. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death, amen. Our Lady of Guadalupe, patroness of the Americas, patroness of the unborn, and of Relevant Radio, pray for us. St. Joseph, patron of the Universal Church, pray for us. St. John Paul II, co-patron of Relevant Radio, pray for us. And we always invoke the Holy Spirit here on Morning Air when we pray, come, Holy Spirit, come. And on Mondays, we remember to pray for the souls in purgatory, especially those of our relatives and our loved ones. They really do need our prayers. Our power scripture from the Playbook of Life is from 1 Corinthians 11:27. The Apostle St. Paul writes, "Whoever therefore eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of profaning the body and blood of the Lord." St. Paul taught that the Holy Eucharist was not merely a symbol that represented Jesus, but that to receive the Eucharist was to receive Jesus himself. The transgression involved in receiving the Eucharist in an unworthy manner, that is, in a state of mortal sin, led to many of the Corinthians to become sick or dying. All of us, including Catholic politicians, need to ask the Lord to show us if we are truly honest and sincere when we examine ourselves and confess our sins, always before receiving the Holy Eucharist. And we always pray with great confidence, Jesus, I trust in you. Now it's time to talk about financial matters through a Catholic and a spiritual perspective. Our number, if you want to be part of the conversation again, 888-914-9149. Joining us now is our financial expert, longtime Morning Air contributor, Bill Ulivieri, to talk about some opportunities in the markets, even that St. Joseph might consider owning. Bill is an investment fiduciary and the owner of Senecal Capital Management. Bill specializes in providing independent 401k advice and portfolio management. Senecal is bridging the gap between traditional investing and digital assets. Good morning, Bill. Thanks so much for joining us. Great to be with you once again on another Monday morning.
Good morning, John. Good morning, Glenn. Thank you for having me again. And a lot of interesting news out there. And at the same time, we're almost here at summer doldrum, so to speak, in the market. So we have another paradox of things going on in the market and in our faith life.
Well, we were originally going to talk about building stocks, even as St. Joseph might consider owning, but you decided to go slightly in a little different direction with some other interesting opportunities. Tell us about those opportunities and kind of give us an update on what parts of the economy are looking good these days.
Right, John, I'm sorry that I threw you a curveball in preparing for this talk. You know, I used to say that I'm not that very much of a handyman, right? But a carpenter say you have to measure twice and cut once. And so as I was preparing, I thought that there were some really good building stocks that were interesting, you know, in medical centers and some shopping malls, believe it or not, which seems to be counterintuitive. But I liked them, but I didn't love them, right? And so I'm like, well, you know, I've got to dig a little bit deeper. I have to measure twice. So what I did is I went back to my database on Saturday night, and I found that there's really, of the 40 sectors that are represented, the 40 team members represented by the S&P 500, there's only three or four that are actually in have a positive attribute, things that are looking kind of interesting. And that's banking, believe it or not, banking, oil, transportation, and forest and paper. And so I decided to go into those sectors and uncover some opportunity. I found some really, really good stuff, John. And so in terms of real estate, like real estate will always be here. It's not going away. On one hand, we have mortgages went from 2.96% up to about 5.25%. So the housing market seems to be slowing down. And while there are three or four stocks in the building sector I like, the ones I find most interesting are in banking and in transportation. And so the first one is the Bank of Chile, right? Bank of Chile, the symbol is BCH. It has a dividend yield of almost 7%. It's 6.89% annually. It's trading for about $19.80 a share. And I like it for a couple of reasons. One is that it has been kind of an unfavored sector in Latin America for a number of years. The U.S. dollar seems to be rolling over. It's been on a run, a long advance for a number of years, maybe since about 2018, 2019. And when the U.S. dollar goes down, it makes foreign investments kind of look good. It's like like a teeter totter that when one goes up, the other goes down, and when one goes down, the other one goes up. So our U.S. dollar is actually buying more foreign goods, and that goes for stocks and securities and exchange traded funds and mutual funds too. So I like the Bank of Chile. It's a really, really good dividend payer. I know that there's a lot of people out there looking for a dividend stream. And then our friends in France, the Société Générale stock, that symbol is SCGLY. It closed at about $5.35 a share, and that also pays about a 6.5% dividend. And this thing has been going down and down and down and down for years. And it looks like it just kind of turned the corner and is looking positive. I like the way the chart pattern looks. So, you know, again, this is a hard conversation to have, John, right now, because, you know, the S&P 500 is down 18% year to date, maybe peak to trough down 20%, which is quote unquote official bear market territory, which honestly is just an arbitrary number. It doesn't mean anything. I mean, there is no better inflation hedge than the S&P 500. There's no better inflation hedge than owning technology and like the NASDAQ 100 stocks. The numbers are absolutely profound when you go back, you know, just 10 or 11 years on how gold has not performed as an inflation hedge to investors. And I just want to open up people's minds that, you know, in the world of investment advising, it's this theme. I guess it's a mindset, and that is when you're evaluating new purchases, you have to find the courage to buy stocks in sectors that are out of favor. You have to go against the crowd. It's against human nature. You have to buy when there's blood in the streets. I mean, that's what we've always said. And I tell you, there's a lot of blood out there, but at the same time, that makes some great opportunities.
Bill, there's a lot of folks who may want to invest, but are concerned about the possibility that we may be going into a recession. What do you say to those people?
Well, you know, a recession is where everything goes on sale, especially stocks. You know, John, it's really, again, it's a hard thing to live through. But if all you ever did was just buy the recessions, you bought the recession in 2001 and 2002, you bought the recession, the Great Recession in 08 and 09, you bought the COVID recession in 2019, I mean, your portfolio would be doing amazing, right? And again, it's this paradox where you want to buy things on sale and these companies that are well capitalized, they pay a dividend stream. It's the backbone of the U.S. economy. Why would you not get in there? And again, we have to do the opposite of what the public does. We have to do opposite of conventional wisdom. And that is, we need to be rushing in when stocks don't look that good and exiting when things look awesome. And so I'm not afraid of recession. I don't even like to use that word. You know, recession and bear markets are pretty much identified in the rearview mirror. When I drive my car, I do not use a rearview mirror. I look through the windshield at ahead of me, and stocks and the stock market discounts the present and looks to the future. And so with the S&P down, you know, almost 20% and the NASDAQ down 25%, the bond market down between 4% and 10%, maybe even 20, depending on which bond, area you're looking at. I mean, you've got to look forward and saying, hey, things are going to get better. And recession just means stocks are on sale. And as an investor, that's the way you have to approach it. It's a mindset. It's an emotional decision to say, hey, I'm not going to pull out and sell stocks and go to cash. Like the parable of the three servants, where the wicked servant just took the talents and buried them in the ground because he was afraid of his master's wrath, right? It was the first two servants were blessed by the master because they took five talents and turned them into five more, or they took two talents and turned them into two more. So those first two servants, they earned 100% rate of return on those talents because they put those assets at risk. They did something with them. I don't agree with the gold as a fear. I don't believe in being a fearful investor. I don't believe, ever since 1980 when I started, there's never been a year where there wasn't something to worry about. There was always a crisis every 2 or 3 years. And that's just a position that, you know, you have to take. And if we're people of faith, man, you've got to be faith. Don't be imprudent. Just don't throw money anywhere. But to pull out of stocks in a recession, boy, I think that's horrible advice, in my opinion.
The reality is if you don't take the money out of your investment, you haven't actually lost anything. It may appear that you've lost, but you haven't actually lost it.
John, I know it's cliche to say that. It really is. It almost sounds ridiculous. Well, if you don't sell it, you haven't lost any money. But it's a truism. I mean, let's go back 10 years. The S&P 500 is up 200% over the last 10 years. The NASDAQ 100, the symbol QQQ, in the last 10 years is up 374%. Silver, down 23% over the last time frame. Gold, up 11%. So in other words, since 2009, for every $1 you put into the NASDAQ 100, you'd have $76 in return. For every $1 you put in the S&P 500, you'd have $33 in return. For every $1 you put in gold, you'd have $8. For every $1 in silver, you get $4. So I'm telling you, precious metals and quote unquote the defensive things that we're so afraid of the market in the news, and it hurts our investment portfolio. We have to be bold. We have to be strong. We have to not be fearful. Because we have to live through these storms like our Lord on the boat when the storms came, right? Like, we don't jump out of the boat. We stay in the boat. And so, again, I know it's hard to do. I know it's hard to live through. But really, that is the best decision, is not to bail the investment plan when the storms hit. And I'm not saying the storm is over. I'm just saying that, we have to stay strong in the correct historical decision. Is not to bail, not to get out, not to go to cash, but to review, rebalance, and look for new opportunities.
Bill, what's your take on the soaring gas prices? Over $5 a gallon in Illinois, over $6 a gallon in many parts of California and New York. How is this affecting investing? How is it affecting the markets? What should we keep in mind?
Well, John, there is a... Listen, I cannot deny the fact that gas is high. I mean, I paid $5.25 a gallon this week here. So again, looking at some of the charts of gasoline and crude oil in the commodity complex that we're all talking about, it kind of looks to me as though things are beginning to roll over. Like oil is now just a neutral sector, right? It's not favored. It's not unfavored. It's neutral. So this tells me that, you know, I think maybe the high in gasoline and high in crude oil is we're very close to that. If anything, it seems like these things are beginning to roll over. And so I think we're kind of, again, at the high point. We may see a little bit higher prices. Believe it or not, Memorial Day weekend is like next week. The summer begins. So I think things are going to stay unchanged to maybe a little bit higher, you know, in the first next couple of weeks. But really, I think the high might be in with gas prices and crude oil and natural gas. It just seems that way from looking at the charts. And yes, this is money that comes out of people's pockets. It makes it harder to go shopping, get groceries, you know, take care of our basic essentials. And they say that the cure for high prices is high prices. And so what I think we'll do is we're going to begin seeing a reduction in demand. We're going to see potentially the administration maybe open up some gas exploration. It just makes sense to me. I just can't imagine us continuing on this path. It just makes no sense to me. To strangle the economy, to strangle individual people with our energy policies. It just makes no sense to me.
Long ago we were paying $2 a gallon. So the sun always shines after the storm. Bill, as always, thanks so much for being with us. How can our listeners contact you to get more details on some of your recommendations?
Oh, thanks, Jen, for the opportunity. Well, if anybody, again, wants to call 847-686-4800, that's 847-686-4800. I have a list of about 20 stocks. These are ones that I don't like. These are ones that I love. And I'll be happy to share those with any listeners that want to call and leave a message with their email address or mailing address.
Or they can send you an email, info@cynicalcapital.com. Thanks again, Bill.
Thank you, John. Thank you, Glenn.
Bill Ulivieri, the owner of Cynical Capital Management. We're going to take a short break when Morning Air returns. Award-winning author Marge Fenelon will be with us to discuss some summer family activities that actually build relationships. So stay with us. There's much more to come here on Morning Air. We'll be right back after this.
Sometimes I wonder what I'm going to do, but there ain't no cure for the summertime blues.
Wake up, America. It's time for Morning Air with John Morales on Relevant Radio.
Yes, indeed. Welcome back to Morning Air. I'm John Morales, along with Glenn Leverance. Thanks so much for joining us this morning. Our number, if you want to be part of the conversation, 888-914-9149. That's 888-914-9149. Now, we are coming up on Memorial Day weekend. Can you believe it? And that means that summer is right around the corner. The best activities for families are the ones that foster interaction, unity, and most of all, fun. With rising inflation and soaring gas prices that we talked about last segment, going on vacation may not be realistic for your family this year. We're going to talk about some ideas for summer family activities that are easy on the pocketbook. We are now joined live by Marge Fenelon with much more on summer family activities that actually build relationships as well. Marge is an award-winning author and an internationally known speaker and a Catholic media personality. Marge is the author of several books, including Our Lady, Undoer of Knots, A Living Novena, and My Queen, My Mother, A Living Novena. Good morning, Marge. Thanks so much for joining us this morning. It's great to be with you once again.
Good morning, John. It's great to be back, and it's fun to be talking about summer, especially since we've had a few cold days around here. So it's a good reminder that, yes, indeed, summer is coming.
It really is, and it's hard to believe. It just kind of has snuck up on us, a Memorial Day weekend coming up this weekend. Can you talk to us about an easy family activity that may come to mind to promote family union and one that which everybody can get involved?
Oh, absolutely. I've got a handful of them. born of necessity in raising our family, but really some of these things that we discovered by accident we kept as tradition. So one of the things that is so fun and easy is to cook together. I mean, to really, you know, let everybody make, and according to age and skill level, but let everybody make something they really like or a recipe that really intrigues them. And yeah, you might have kind of an odd composite of dishes by the time you sit down to eat. But the point is that you're doing this together and everybody's getting involved. And it's you know, cooking is kind of a self-expression. So you're helping your kids also to sounds a little dramatic, but grow into themselves, you know, by discovering something that they like and that they can do well, or maybe not quite so well, but then they get some help and it turns out great. So cooking together, this also, now this could be, you know, a family meal. It could be a backyard barbecue for your family. And that's a lot of fun as well, because then you're outdoors, you're enjoying the sunshine, and you could even do a backyard picnic. You know, picnics, we always think of, you know, going to the park and laying out the spread at a park, but you can picnic right in your backyard. And especially if everybody has participated by preparing one or more parts of that meal, it really can be a lot of fun. And maybe if you know have the ability of a fire pit, you can end the day with gathered around the fire pit. And then there's a many different things you can do around the fire. But I think also if you want to get away from your home just a little bit, and you know maybe you don't want to go too far, but check out local attractions because we miss them so easily. For example, I grew up in Milwaukee and never went to a brewery tour, and Milwaukee's full of breweries. So
that's hard to believe there, Marge, considering how many breweries there are in the land of beer.
I know, it's just shameful, isn't it? But we finally did, but it was actually when the kids were all older, which is kind of funny. But that's just an example of how, or we discovered recently that in Wisconsin, over toward the Madison area, there's the National Mustard Museum. Who knew? Who even thought that such a thing would exist? There's lots of fun things.
What do you do at the National Mustard Museum? That's kind of interesting.
Well, you tour, so you can see, you know, how it's made. They can give you a little bit of education on the different kinds of mustards, which, you know, again, who knew? Like, you know, to me, it's like it's yellow and it's kind of a little spicy. It's great. But no, there's a whole lot more to it. There's really kind of a science to mustard making. And then, of course, there's samples, so you get to sample and see what they're like. So it's like Mustard Museum, and again, by accident, I think I was searching for something completely different online. I was like, hey, you guys, guess what I found? So, you know, we're on the Great Lakes. We are, our family, Lake Michigan, and there are ports all up and down Lake Michigan where you could check it out. You know, for example, in Racine, there's a port. We'd never been there before, the marina there, and it's really beautiful. So little things
I've
like
actually,
that.
Believe it or not, I've actually been to that marina. It is beautiful. It's right there on beautiful Lake Michigan. It is quite a sight.
Yeah, that for a long time that was a favorite because it was you could walk and just look at the water and the different boats and things. It was great fun. So the point is it's, you know, it's very simple. It's something that could be right around the corner from you literally and something you've never done before. And if you want to go a little farther, then just plan a simple day trip, but then the principle is the same. Go somewhere you've never been before. Somewhere that just piques your curiosity. Pack up some snacks and some drinks and head out and see what you find. And along the way, there's a ton of road trip games you can play. I mean, just if you search it online, you'll come up with more than you could ever play, I think, because there's so many fun road trip games. One of the ones that we loved, and I think everybody knows this one, is 20 Questions. We used to love to play that in the car, and even just on a boring rainy day, 20 questions. And so, you know, someone thinks of something, and then you can only ask yes or no questions in case somebody hasn't played the game. You take turns asking yes or no questions until you figure out the item that the person is thinking of. And you cannot, that's why it's 20 questions. One person cannot ask more than 20 questions. Then they're out. So fun stuff. That, you know, if you're driving on the road, the alphabet game is good for littler kids who are learning their ABCs. Because, excuse me, what the goal is to, with the road signs or any writing you're passing on a building, wherever it is, to find a word that begins with each letter of the alphabet. And, of course, the first one to achieve that wins. We've done various versions of that one, but, you know, for older kids, so if you've got, you know, I'm saying preteen, teens, you could do name the artist. So if you've got a radio station on, you can add, and a song comes on, see who knows the artist and who's the first to recognize the artist of that. I mean, on and on, there are plenty of road games. And, you know, I think sometimes that's as I said, a misnomer because these are things you could play in the backyard around the fire pit, going back to our first item. But wherever and to entertain, it engages people. And that's what's so important. You're talking to each other, you're laughing together, you're challenging your minds, and you're using your imagination.
And Marge, you don't have to go that far away sometimes to go visit something as simple as a farm. What is it about a farm that kids just love to see the cows being milked and the pigs running around, the chickens and eggs being laid? I mean, it can be a lot of fun without spending a whole lot of money.
That is absolutely right, and there are a lot of farms, or at least I know in the Midwest there are farms where you could go and you can buy their produce, and those are fun. But I can't think of the proper name for it right now. But there is a farm that actually invites tours in about halfway up toward Green Bay, so from where I am now and toward the station, but. My brain is just ticking so fast. I've got our whole summer plan. Thank you, John. Oh yeah, we got to go to that place. But farms,
my son just came back from a farm, and believe me, the inside of my car smells like farm right now until we get it washed. But he had so much fun. He was watching chickens laying eggs, and they were chasing down pigs. This was a school trip that they did. And, I mean, the kid had a tremendous time playing on the farm. I think the highlight was trying to catch the grease pig.
Yeah. Yes. It's fun to. I've never done it, but I sure love to watch it.
Me neither, but it sure sounds like a good time for sure.
It does.
What about something as simple as just visiting historical landmarks? There's so many of them all across our great nation, and oftentimes we drive by them and we never have ever stopped in to check it out.
That's right, and I don't know if folks don't realize this. I know, I don't think this is just a Wisconsin thing. I think this is all over the place. We have these brown signs that denote a historical landmark, and it'll just be it's so easy to miss. You know, sometimes you'll see it along the road. It'll say landmark ahead or something similar to that, and there'll be a plaque there, and it'll explain to you what that was all about, that particular site. And you're right, there are landmarks all over the place. If you've got, I wanted to say most cities, but let's just say a lot of cities have historical societies. And check in, you know, just give a call and say, hey, what are some fun landmarks in your city that we should visit? Look them up online. You know, you can also find some of those historical societies online. And you're right, the landmarks, the churches, churches are more than just, you know, the place where you go to pray. The churches have a history, and someone built that church. Why did they build that church? Who were they? When did they build it? What went into the building of it? You know, there's a lot behind something that we think is just a simple church, and it can really be a good education for the kids of how the church is built up, literally, from the ground up. So landmarks, historic places, museums, there are, I know that in Minnesota, there's a whole string of these little museums. They're just, it's like taking a step back into antiquity. Now, one time we followed the Laura Ingalls Wilder Trail through Minnesota, and I highly recommend it for families with young kids. The babies, that I wouldn't get as much out of it, but if you've got the grade school kids, middle school kids, this is about the time frame we went with our kids, and it was fascinating. And it seemed like down as you drive down the road, every little while, there's another little historical site. Where in one place we found this old general store that looked really like it was when it was back in the 1800s. It was so much fun. And those are all over the place. It felt like everywhere we drove, there was some place to stop. That was fascinating and fun.
Well, Marge, I got to tell you, your idea about visiting churches. I know there's beautiful churches in the Milwaukee area. I know Chicago is like the city of old, Polish and German churches. Some of them are just magnificent. When I'm in Milwaukee, I always like to visit St. Josephat, the Basilica there. Mm-hmm. It is absolutely gorgeous. If you walk in, you feel like you're in Rome. There are places like that all across our country. And so oftentimes we're just so busy that we never stop in to check it out.
That is absolutely right. Yeah, if any one of our listeners is in the Milwaukee area, St. Josephat's is a must see, because it was. We don't have time to get into the whole history of it. I know some of that, but basically, they bought out the building, the materials of a post office in Chicago. A huge post office, wasn't, we're not talking about a little one along the road, but disassembled it and brought those pieces up and then reassembled it as this beautiful basilica. It is, St. Josephat Basilica is astounding. And you aren't kidding, all over the country. As I travel to speak, generally I'm over a weekend, so I get to, I have the privilege of seeing all of these different beautiful churches, and some of them are newer, and it's like, wow, that's really interesting, that they built it in this way at this time. But some of the older ones, for me being a history buff, are absolutely fascinating in the materials that they used. For example, it's a favorite of mine. Maybe it's because I have German heritage, but it's tended to be that the Germans had a lot of carved wood in their churches. And when you look at this and see the intricacies of these carved altars, and to appreciate what actually went in to the making of that is fascinating.
Absolutely. You're describing the church that I grew up in when I was a kid on the north side of Chicago, St. Gregory the Great Parish, built by Germans, and it looked exactly the way you're describing. It's mm-hmm. the beautiful wood carvings. Well, there's no telling how many different summer family activity ideas we can come up with. We'd like to invite you to share your ideas, or if you have a question or comment for Marge Fenelon, we're taking your calls at 888-914-9149. If you have any additional interesting summer family activity ideas for us, that's 888-914-9149. We're going to take a short break as we continue our conversation with Marge. Stay with us. There's much more to come here on Morning Air.
Get connected to the conversation. Call us now at 888-914-9149. That's 888-914-9149. You're listening to Morning Air with John Morales on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
In the summertime, when the weather is hot, you can stretch right up and touch the sky. When the weather's fine, we go fishing or go sailing to sea.
Summer is right around the corner. Welcome back to Morning Air on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. I'm John Morales. Thanks so much for joining us as we continue our conversation, talking about some fun summer family activities that build relationships with award-winning author Marge Fenelon. Marge, welcome back.
Hey, great to be back. And let's get on the road again, because as we were on break, my mind started exploding with other ideas. I guess I'm really longing for summer. I think that's all erupting within me. But I'm excited to give ideas and hear ideas. If we've got callers who have other ideas to share for activities for families that are easy on the budget, as you said, but yet foster unity and interaction, because then you really engage everyone. I was thinking that, you know, we have this beautiful national park system in our country, and taking a simple hike in a national park can be so much fun. Don't tell yourself you have to cover so many miles or get through the whole park or, you know, whatever the case may be, but just meander and see what you find. Now, of course, you know, depends. When our kids were babies, we had nothing but those old umbrella strollers, and those were a disaster if you're taking trails. But now there are all different ways of taking kids, young and old, on a beautiful hike through these parks and discover nature. And what, you know, there are nature trails, nature preserves. Look around. See if there are some by you, because even if it's a simple city park, there's beauty there to just, you know, when you're out in nature, it changes you. You know, you appreciate God's creation, and you're taking in the sun and the oxygen. So, and also I wanted to let folks know that, you know, look for your county fair. Because a lot of these county fairs, the entrance fee is nothing or very low. And again, you know, we talked about farms with animals. Well, at county fairs, it's not only animals, it's various crafts and different kinds of cooking. And there's lots of different things you can see at a county fair. Those are fun to go through. We always were going to county fairs when our kids were young, and even now we still enjoy that. So county fairs is something that we can't forget. But if you're not inclined to go anywhere, try gardening. And I, you know, when people hear gardening, they think of, you know, the big gardening stores where you have to do it right and you have to have a big plot of land. And that's not true. You know, we have a little city lot, and we have grown things on our little city lot and had a lot of fun doing it. So encourage the kids. Ask them, if you could grow anything you wanted within this, and you, of course, we have to have some perimeters based on climate and soil and so on. But you know, what would you like to grow? What do you think would be really fun to grow? Get them involved. And it doesn't have to be a whole crop. You know, one plant, couple of plants. You know, and especially today, with, you know, we've got things are a little bit tighter at the grocery store, and try growing your own vegetables. It's not as hard as you think, and that's what we discovered. It's really not as hard as you think. So grow your own vegetables. Grow edible flowers. Jen, did you know that there are a number of flowers that you can eat and are actually delicious? I mean, the first time on the plate, it's like, whoa, this is a little weird. I mean, but their nasturtiums are really, really good to eat. Violets. Now, you have to be careful. You know, I encourage folks to look up these plants and make sure that there aren't any pesticides put on these, because then you shouldn't eat them. But there's I mean, the imagination can just go anywhere with this idea of growing things. And there's something very therapeutic about that. You know, you plant the seed, and there's so much to learn about God's creation when you're growing your own plants, even if it's just a decorative plant. And actually, that I shouldn't use the word just, because that adds beauty to our surroundings, and that gives glory to God. So try it. Try gardening. Just pick a little corner of your yard and mark that off and dig it up and see what you can do. And maybe you don't get a lot of great, fantastic plants, but so what? It's the fun of trying and letting the kids use their imagination for what they might like to grow. So that was a favorite of ours.
And on another note, related to hiking, is camping. And it doesn't have to be in a national park, you know, a few days away. You can actually camp right in your own backyard if you want to really do it in an inexpensive way.
Yes, and we have done that. There were summers where we barely saw our kids in the house at night because, you know, if you've got, you don't even really need fan, you know, like a tent per se. You could do a makeshift tent with, and it's too hard to explain on the air, but we've made our own tents with blankets and things. But in any case, right in your own backyard, and you're right there, and you could, goodness, if you feel up to it, parents, go ahead and camp out with the kids. But it's right. We don't need big and fancy. We don't need to go far away to do something so fun like camping right in your backyard. Or we've even camped indoors on terrible, when there's really bad weather, we let the kids bring sleeping bags and sprawl out on the living room floor. It was great, great fun. And we called it Camp Fenland. We had a blast.
Well, Marge, we talked about visiting churches. You can actually go on a pilgrimage this summer and go visit a beautiful place like the story of Our Lady of Good Help, the beautiful shrine up in Champion, Wisconsin. I know that's something that you've actually written about. That would be a great way to get the family involved in the summertime.
Oh, absolutely. It I honestly think that every American needs to visit that place because it's the only church-approved apparition in the U.S. And there's something about that atmosphere, and I think we've talked about that before. But yes, I wrote an entire book, America's Mary, the story of Our Lady of Good Help, about the apparition and the culture of the Belgian immigrants who were the first there. It is not only a grace-filled place, but it's a beautiful area, and it's fascinating when you think about our Blessed Mother appearing here in our country with a message for all of us, which is the vitality of the faith and the importance of learning our catechism well. So lots and lots of good places, and there's all kinds of fun places around the shrine that you could visit as well. You could plan a whole weekend there or more.
No doubt. We're going to have to leave it right there, Marge. Thank you so much for being with us. I love all of these fun summer ideas. Thanks again.
You are very welcome anytime.
Marge Fenland, award-winning author, internationally known speaker and retreat leader. And for more, you can visit margefenland.com. And now it's time for another episode of Glenn Story Corner.
Our story today is called Enduring Value. A popular speaker started off a seminar by holding up a $20 bill. A crowd of 200 had gathered to hear him speak. He asked, "Who'd like this $20 bill?" 200 hands went up. He said, "I'm going to give this $20 to one of you, but first let me do this." And he crumpled the bill up. And then he asked, "Who still wants it?" All 200 hands were still raised. "Well," he replied, "what if I do this?" And he dropped the bill onto the ground and stomped on it and ground it with his shoes. He picked it up and showed it to the crowd. The bill was all crumpled and dirty. "Now who still wants it?" All the hands still went up. "My friends," he said, "I've just showed you a very important lesson. No matter what I did to the money, you still wanted it because it did not decrease in value. It was still worth $20. Many times in our lives, life crumples us up and grinds us into the dirt. We make bad decisions or deal with poor circumstances. We feel worthless. But no matter what has happened or what will happen, you'll never lose your value in the eyes of God. Matthew 10:29 through 31 says, "Are not two sparrows sold for a small coin? Yet not one of them falls to the ground without your Father's knowledge. Even all the hairs of your head are counted. So do not be afraid. You're worth more than many sparrows."
What a beautiful scripture to remind us of what is important in trusting in the Lord. Thanks, Glenn, as always. Coming up next hour on Morning Air, Father James Wallace, the pastor of St. Paul the Cross Church in Park Ridge, Illinois, in suburban Chicago, will join us to begin a two-part series on church history. Today, we're going to talk about early church history until the early Middle Ages. And Archbishop Salvatore Corleone of San Francisco will be with us to discuss barring Nancy Pelosi from Holy Communion because she promotes abortion. So don't change that dial. There's much more to come as Morning Air continues next hour here on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.